Hi folks, it's time for another episode of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast with all the latest news and reviews from the Haven. Faz and Stubbsy from Trust in Haven welcome you to this latest episode of our podcast by the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Here we go.
Hello there and welcome back to this, the latest edition of the Whitehaven Rugby League Fans Podcast. And as always, it's Dave Farrell here, and with us for today, as is normally the case, with Paul Stubbs from Greater Manchester, from Radcliffe to be exact. How are you? So welcome along, Paul.
Hi everybody.
Yeah. So it's an interesting part of the season. We'll just be doing a short review of last Sunday's game against Oldham. Perhaps not the best of performances, Paul, but a win was a win at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think this time of the season, like you say, a win's a win, Dave. Wasn't the best game to watch, I don't think. But the lads got the job done in the end.
Well, some good rugby played, but there was a lot of mistakes at the same time. It was I think in the end it was easy to see why Oldham are in the pickle they were in. They certainly had the chances to win it, but contrived to make too many mistakes, more mistakes than what Whitehaven did. And here is what Coach Gary Charlton had to say afterwards.
Just get your foot. Really proper hard work, Jord. Yeah, just too many errors, inviting them into a game. I thought round the ruck, I thought they absolutely dominated us. They run a bit harder than us. They play the ball faster a bit than us. Scored some tries off some weak defence. We just need to be better. You know, that isn't the way we play. But credit to Oldham, they've run a lot hard, especially in the second half. They've asked a lot of questions out of us. We have a little bit of players that can create some of them for us, and they did at the back end of the game.
So, Paul, fairly honest assessment of things there from Gary Charlton. But at the end of the day, he was relieved to get the result, as I think we all were. And that now means that Oldham have got to win four more games than us in the remaining seven fixtures. So, barring a complete disaster and a complete turnaround with Oldham, it looks like we can look forward to 2022 in the Championship, Paul.
Yeah, if the Championship exists as it's existing at the moment, but... Gary was quite honest about that, as he is every game, to be honest with you. He never skirts around anything. He always says it as it is. And I think everybody will agree with what he said there.
Yeah. So that's a crucial win. Maybe not the best of performances, but we'll take the win, we'll take the percentages or the points. I'm not quite sure which is more important, but it puts us level, more or less level with Newcastle, who we visit on Sunday. And in part two of today's podcast, we'll be speaking with Mick Hogan from Newcastle Thunder. Mick's always willing to come on and share his views. So Mick will be previewing Sunday's game, telling us a bit about what's going on there on Sunday, with potentially Thunder's highest gate of the season. So should be a good banter, a good atmosphere at the Kingston Stadium on Sunday, Paul.
Yeah, it should be. And a lot of Haven fans travelling across. Unfortunately, I won't be one of them coming up from Manchester. I've got to go to work. But it's one ground or one game I would have liked to have gone to. I just hope everybody has a fantastic day out.
Yeah.
And I know you will, Dave, but there
yeah.
we are.
Yeah. Always like going over to Newcastle for all sorts of reasons. So, yeah, be good. Looking forward to it. So as I say, we'll be speaking to Mick in part two, getting a preview, and we'll also ask him, see if he can give us some insights, some information. Mick's been one of the main organisers of the Rugby League World Cup opener, which is at St James's Park in Newcastle, assuming it goes ahead. So we'll ask Mick about the World Cup and see what he thinks it might be going. It's a bit of a changes day by day. So we'll ask Mick what he thinks about that. And as always, it'll be interesting to hear what he says. Yeah. So anyway, we sign off. We just want to explain to our clients, our customers, what's happened with this year's Last Fan Standing, Paul.
Yeah, unfortunately, due to the lack of uptake, we've had to cancel it. Everybody who's entered, well, I say everybody, there was about 7 people entered. They've all had refunds by an hour hole. It was probably the wrong time to launch it due to the problems we were having going at the club and COVID and so on and so forth. But hopefully we'll bounce back with it next year. Yeah. And once again, we'll try and run it on the Championship rather than Super League. I'm just glad we didn't do it on Super League because we'd never have got it finished.
Yeah,
they started it. So thank you to everybody that did enter, those 7 or 8 people that entered. And hopefully you'll support us again next season.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So thanks for that explanation, Paul. Thanks to the people who have supported us in the past, and we hope to have them back on board with Last Fan Standing in 2022. So yeah, so that's just about all for part one. As here, we look forward to hearing from Mick Hogan from Newcastle in part two. Just to remind people, this is the Haven Fans podcast brought to you by Trust in Haven, the independent Whitehaven Rugby League supporters trust for the fans by the fans. If you want to, as I always say, we'd love to have you on a future show. We can all do it remotely. And if you feel you've something to say, if you want to come on board and be part of a podcast, you're more than welcome. As always, email us at trustinhaven@gmail.com with your name and details. We'll get in touch with you, and we'd love to hear from you, so please get in touch. So yeah, for anything else to do with the Whitehaven Supporters Trust, go to our website at www.trustinhaven.com. So that's it, Paul, for the time being. And we look forward to hearing from Mick Hogan. Yeah, bye for now.
See you later.
So, yeah, so, righto. Okay, so I'd say that's the Oldham game behind us last week was that was maybe a crucial win for the club. And this week we're on the road. It's the first game in August, and we're travelling across the A69 to Kingston Park to take on Newcastle Thunder. And we're absolutely delighted to have with us CEO of Newcastle Rugby, Mick Hogan. Thanks for joining us today, Mick.
Hello, how are you doing, lads?
Yeah, all right, great. Mate. Great, yeah. So yeah, and also, as always, our Haven fan in exile from Greater Manchester, it's Paul Stubbs. Stubby, welcome along again.
Yeah, hi, everybody.
Yeah, yeah, good. So, well, I suppose we'll get right into it, Mick. So, yeah, here we are. As I say, the season's moving on. Whitehaven travelling over to play yourselves, Newcastle Thunder. More or less level in the league. A great gaming prospect on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so. I think two really evenly matched teams. Obviously, we'll be looking to reverse the scoreline from earlier in the season when we went down. We were very much second best over in Whitehaven. But I think two good teams that like to attack. And I think on our pitch, we should, as long as it stays dry, I think we'll see a good open game with a fair few tries scored and you know, some good entertainment for what's looking like, you know, already is our biggest crowd of the season and, you know, might get near 2,000, yeah.
Right, that's good. Well, I'd say certainly few coming from Whitehaven, and I believe you have a big you've a big event on at Kingston Park on Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a big community festival, so it sold out a couple of weeks ago. We've got 60 teams involved. We've got lots of grass pitches to the side of the stadium, so they'll all be playing there sort of in the morning around lunchtime, and then they'll come into the game. Lots of parents and friends and family have bought tickets, so I think we're just under 1,500 tickets now on Friday. You can still pay on the day. We know there's a big number coming from Whitehaven. It's by far and away the biggest away support this season. I think there's 3 busloads of supporters coming. But we've also got a few teams coming over from West Cumbria as well. So I think It should be pretty evenly matched in the stands as well. There'll be lots of Whitehaven support there. It'll make a lot of noise, and I think it's going to be a really good day.
Yeah, yeah, it should be a good band, a good atmosphere, and as I say, hopefully that'll reflect on what we see on the pitch. Yeah, so as we've said, we've already met this season. Whitehaven won, but it was only by 9 points in the end, though. I think it was a game where Whitehaven were also in front, but Newcastle came back later on in the piece to cause Whitehaven just a little bit of a concern at the end. But so that, it'll be something like that on Sunday. What's been the highlight of your season, or what do you consider the highlights of your season thus far, then, Mick? What's
we've had a few good wins, so we've won four out of the last six. I think the real highlight was probably the win over Oldham. We were comfortable winners on the day, and it was a day when everything just clicked. So I think we won by about 40 points to six. That was good. We've had a couple of heavy losses as well within there. That hasn't been great. But I think out of all that, the highlight for me is seeing quite a few of our academy lads come through and make the first team debut. I think we've had six now this season. So we've lads that are, all still academy qualified, or lads that are just the first year out of academy, and six players have made their debut this year, and it's our long-term ambition. We still have to rely on players coming into the team from out the region for the time being, perhaps more so this season, because Chapter still, we just before we started, and it's a big step up, the Championship, and I think it caught us a bit by surprise at the start. We knew it was going to be a step up, but perhaps at times I don't think we realised how big a step up it was. You've a lot of ex-Super League players in there, and do you know what? A lot of fantastic players that, for one reason or another, don't want to or can't make the step up to full-time with Super League. But do you know what? They're not far off Super League standard players, a lot of these guys that are semi-pro for some of these teams. So it's been a big step up. I think we're finding the level now. It's taken us to this point in the season, but the backbone of the team now coming through is going to be North East based and North East produced players, and that for me brings me a lot of satisfaction.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You as I say yourself, Mick, you were sort of at the International Stadium going back 20-25 years really with the Gateshead Mets, which were the first team from the North East playing in the professional competitions. They played Whitehaven Academy at the time. So you've invested a lot of your own time and effort in that into getting to this point, and you must be delighted to see what's all unfolding.
Yeah, very much so. Look, it's a huge effort by a lot of people. We're very fortunate at the club at the minute to have some. Top professionals working with us. I mean, professional people, not professional players, but we've got, Michael Heap, who leads the academy now. He's put a fantastic program together, supported by Jordan Robinson, some great coaches in there. But, credit has got to go to the community game as well, because your academy can only be successful if it's getting the players through, that are being taught from sort of the ages of 9, 10, 11. And there's some brilliant clubs out here in the North East now that, with the Cramlington Rockets, your Gateshead Storms, Jarrah Vikings, Catterick Crusaders, Yarn Wolves, the length and breadth of the North East, that are now getting kids that are choosing rugby league as the first sport. And with that, we're getting some cracking players coming through. It's not all about academy players. We want to grow the game at all levels. We want to make sure that no matter what you do, whatever standard you are, there's the game of rugby league for you, whether that's the community game on a Saturday afternoon, whether it's touch rugby, whether it's academy or even Thunder. It's, we've got to keep as many people as we can within the sport and participating at whatever level we want. And it's a long-term project. It'll keep going on for years and years to come. But we feel like we're slowly getting there.
You said you're expecting 2,000 gate. Your gates have been slowly but surely bumping up over the last season or two, have they, Mick?
Yeah, they have. So when we're in League One, we were averaging, I think it was 1,100, which is not bad. It's built on the back of community work. We try not to, we're always going to be, I think, a favoured destination of a lot of clubs. when they travel away. And you've seen that this weekend with the numbers that are going to be coming over from Whitehead. It's,
that's right.
Newcastle's a good day out. It's a good, you know, quite absolutely. A few people, I'm sure, are making a weekend of it. And we always want to retain that. But we've got to build our own support base as well. We can't just rely on, you know, clubs bringing big numbers themselves. It's great, and they'll always get a warm welcome, and hopefully they enjoy the day, not too much on the field, but certainly off the field. You know, we want that, but we've got to grow our own supporters. And again, we're doing that, and it's about, you know, building that next generation of rugby league fans, you know, kids that grow up with the sport. I think there's a stat done somewhere, I forget where the research is. If you play the sport, you're seven times more likely to support it. So we get lots of kids playing the sport. Hopefully they become lifelong supporters of rugby league.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, so as you say, very positive. And as I say, we, for the Whitehaven supporters who are attending the game on Sunday, we'll see we'll see all that hard work, all the evidence of that hard work sort of there in front of our eyes. So, yeah. Just, I'd say, you've Whitehaven on Sunday. What's your sort of thoughts on the rest of the season? Are you sort of more or less sort of happy with where you're at, or do you think Newcastle can kick on?
I think it's a fair reflection of where we are. I was saying earlier, it's a tough competition, it really is, and we've proved to be competitive, but we're some way off being able to challenge the top teams. I do think whoever wins on Sunday, I'm not saying they're definitely going to be safe, but I think they've got one foot in for next year, and it's a big game there. So whoever wins, you can sort of see they'd have to have a pretty disastrous run of results then, and other teams below put together a pretty remarkable run of results for them to then get relegated. So I think it's a big game there. I think whoever wins Sunday can really start to look forward to the rest of the season with some optimism. I'm not saying you take the foot off the gas, but that pressure of, you know, potential relegation is off the table. But you know, look, even if we don't win Sunday, we've still got some hugely winnable games to come. We've got some big games as well. So we've got Bradford a couple of weeks after that, and then we've got York on the Friday night before Magic Weekend. So again, two big events, two big crowds, and, you know, two games that I think earlier in the season, particularly Bradford, we thought would have struggled, but, you know, we're going to go into those games with, you know, some confidence. And if we hit it right on the day, and I've said it in this league all along, with the exception of the top two, Toulouse and Featherstone, if you are on your game on any day, you will beat anybody in this league. And for me, the remarkable bit is Swinton. I think Swinton are a good team. And I find it amazing that they haven't won. They've been very, very unlucky in a few games. I know they've parted company with a coach this week, which is always sad to see. But Swinton, with a bounce of the ball here, that they could and perhaps should have beaten us down there. We managed to get over the line 36-30 after going 30-0 up on 25 minutes. It was an incredible comeback. So, look, anybody can beat anybody. So I'd love to see us win another three or four at least for the remainder of the season and finish comfortably mid-table.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, just going on to that, I went up to Whitehaven to watch the Swinton game, and at times they were the better team.
I
just ran out of steam at the end.
Yeah, they're a really expansive side. I think they play some great rugby league. I think they play the game the way it should be. They've got a small squad, and I think they suffer from that, and they've had a horrendous injury list this year. I do know that as well, but I love the guys down at Swinton. I think they're a great club. I love where they play, and I love the style of rugby they play as well, and they always get a warm welcome. And I'd love them to get a few wins this year. That sounds crazy, because that would put pressure on us probably and probably pull us into a wider relegation battle. But I would love Swinton to get a few wins, because I think they deserve it.
Yeah. So, as I say, both teams looking to consolidate. Some talk about changes in the league structure. Have you any thoughts on that at this time? Thoughts going forward for 2022 and beyond?
We're on a meeting this afternoon, so obviously this is being recorded on Friday, and we're now 11:20. So in a couple of hours, I'll be in a meeting with all the other clubs and hearing hopefully some plans for next year and beyond. So it's difficult to speculate, because I don't know what those plans may or may not be. I think that will all unfold over the next 24, 48 hours. But I think the sport does need to change a bit. Not change for change's sake, because that's been rugby league, I think, for the last 20, 30 years. too much. We change too often, and we just think that every time we change, it's going to be the silver bullet, and it's not. Yeah. There's lots of things we need to look at. You know, every club's got to make themselves a bit better, and that all contributes to a better game. As clubs, we've got to look at ourselves, not just point the finger at the RFL all the time, say, what are you going to do, what are you going to do? We've got to improve as well as every single club. But I think, you know, change is needed, without a doubt.
Right.
Whether that's a structural change, whether change is individual, I don't know. But there's going to be less money around in the sport for the next few years because of the broadcast deal that's been done.
Yes.
And crowds are going to take some rebuilding after COVID. So we've just got to cut our cloth accordingly. And it's not about being not sort of ambitious. It's about being realistic. I think if we can make those changes and those tweaks, and I do believe we'll have a better sport in a couple of years.
Yeah, let's hope that the right changes are made then, Mick. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's important that, you know, with every current club that's in there has got to play a part in that going forward. So it's not, you know, I'm hearing, you know, people saying, oh, we should be cutting to this or that. Whatever the structure is, it's got to have the opportunity for any club that's currently in the 36 professional clubs, they've got to be able to find a level. Yeah. But I think they've got to be able to find a level in a sustainable way. There's going to be less money all round, but you would probably think that's going to mean less money for players. You know, they've got to take the hit in all this as well. It's not just a case of they're going to get the same money regardless going forwards, because somebody's got to fund it. And if that's not coming from centrally, and Gates, I don't think, are going to be massively up over the next year or two after what we've been through. So
yeah.
I think if everybody takes a bit of pain, I think we include all clubs, we'll come up with the right structure moving forward.
Let's hope so. Best of luck with that, Mick, and as I say, hope the discussions go well this afternoon anyway. Just to finish, again, lots of uncertainty in the game, and I know you've really worked hard in terms of Rugby League World Cup 2021. It's been a bit of a bombshell in the last week. We've all booked tickets for games and stuff like that. What's your thoughts on it? What do you think's going on? I'm not saying Newcastle's got a big part in the
company. Yeah, difficult to say because I do a bit of work for them, as you say, Dave, but I'm not full time there. I think it comes down to probably one of three options, and the first one is we go ahead this year, and I think that's the preferred option of everybody. Who's sort of trying to get this on, notwithstanding probably the two biggest and you would argue the best teams in the men's competition and also the women's as well, are not going to be there. So do you play on regardless? Do you substitute teams in? Do you put America and Serbia or even the Australian Indigenous and New Zealand Maori that's been mentioned? So I know all this is being looked at. Or do you push it back 12 months? And pushing back 12 months is not easy because all your contracts that you've signed with Stadium and with broadcasters and sponsors all become probably null and void and need renegotiating. But I think the one thing it does do, if it is put back 12 months, it gives you a bit more time and a bit more certainty. And as long as Australia and New Zealand would commit to 2022, then I know that's an option that's going to be looked at.
Yeah.
Well, the third one is potentially you cancel it. And I would hate that to happen because there's been so much work put into it. You know, they keep saying it's going to be the biggest and best World Cup ever.
Yes.
And we want to see that. So, look, the decision will be made, I believe, in the next few days, by the early to mid part of next week. The government will be heavily involved because they've got such a financial stake in this. And you've just got to trust that there's a lot of very talented people on the negotiations looking at this. There's a lot of moving parts, I understand, as well. But hopefully we get to the right decision, whether that's going ahead this year in a slightly revised form or pushing it back 12 months.
Just going on from that, I think the biggest problem is we talked about it today on the group that we have, that next year, around November time, we've got the Football World Cup.
Yeah.
You've got other things going on, and that's why it's been 5 years and not blah, 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 and so on and so forth. I think be a problem if we push it back, that we're going to lose crowds anyway. We'll be watching the football rather than the rugby, and it's been there to promote the game of rugby. So there's fours and against them all the way through.
You're right, Paul. There really is, and it's that's why I said there's no easy answer. And whichever one you come up with, whether you decide to go ahead this year there's challenges with that, isn't there, as well? If you move it to next year, there's challenges. So it's what is the you know, the choice that perhaps gives you the more upsides than downsides? And like I said, there's a load of things to look at. You know, for example, is, you know, we'll kick off at St James's Park this year. You move it back 12 months, there's no guarantee that that venue is going to be available, is there? So you've got to renegotiate that, and there's no guarantee the BBC can cover it as much, because they will be putting, as you say,
football,
a lot of their time and effort into the football. So how do you balance all this off? And as I say, all this has been discussed, and we've just got to make sure we consider everything and come up with the right answer.
I mean, one, I forget who suggested it yesterday, was could they not make a New Zealand team and an Australian team out of the players that are actually over here already?
The problem you've got with that is the rights, the sort of intellectual property rights to Australia and New Zealand lie with the NRL and the New Zealand Rugby League. So we couldn't, I don't think you could use that. I think the debate at the minute is whether you could actually extend an invite to the Australian Indigenous and the New Zealand Maori, because whilst they sit within the family of rugby league down there, they are independent bodies and they make their own decisions. You know, you look at that potential Australian Indigenous side and the New Zealand Maori side, and they are very, very strong sides. There's an argument to say they will probably still be favourites. But the downside to that is they're not countries, are they? And, you know, we have, the World Cup is for nations, for me. I can see the upside for them being entered, but I can also see that, does it attract criticism for the from the competition that we've had to, you know, invite teams that are not, you know, fully representative of the nations of where they come from?
Yeah, I think another thing that came out of what the group yesterday, and Dave will back me up on this, is, and it's been in discussion for a few weeks now, it's the actual clubs that are dictating to the NRL rather than the NRL making the decision themselves.
Yeah, look, there's a bit of, it's difficult, you're right. It's, yeah, you know, you. We don't want the, you know, the international game should be the pinnacle of the sport, and nothing should be able to dictate to that. Clubs or players or whatever else. You've got to listen to people. Don't get me wrong. They're all stakeholders in the game of rugby league, but ultimately the international rugby league should do this.
Yeah.
Well, so as I say, we're lots of unanswered questions on lots of fronts at the moment, Mick. And as I say, the only certainty is that on Sunday, Whitehaven will be at Kingston Park. There'll be a good crowd there, a good atmosphere, and hopefully we'll see a good advert for Championship Rugby League. So, thanks for being on and answering our questions. Contributions always sort of very interesting and very valid as always, so thanks for that.
Good stuff, and look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and here's to a good day with a great game.
Thank you.
Well folks, that's all for another episode of Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast, produced by Trust in Haven, the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Hope you enjoyed it and will join us for our next podcast. To find out more, visit our website at www.trustinhaven.com.